Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in John chapter 11, the last few verses from 45. We're going to be reading three contexts from verses 45 to 57. This is Gilbert from, Albuquerque, because that's where he used to live, Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
John 11, verses 45 through 46.
Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done.
Bunch of tattletales. Of course, they're obviously with this group of naysayers. Okay, 47 through 53.
The chief priests, therefore, and the Pharisees gathered a Sanhedrin and said, "What do we? Because this man doeth many signs. If we let him thus alone, all will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest of that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not." Now this he said not of himself, but being high priest of that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather into one the children of God that are scattered abroad. From that day on, therefore, they took counsel to kill him.
This is all God's plan. Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And so one person, because he was priest, he was actually the high priest of that year. He prophesied he couldn't help himself. He actually said what was right. And sometimes that'll actually happen. God can cause, even a donkey could speak, Balaam's donkey, and told exactly what was happening. It would told exactly what was on that donkey's mind. So even a high priest in a church that is really gone away from serving God and they're serving themselves, and here Jesus is standing right in front of them, and they don't recognize him. They say, "Well, we know Moses, and this is what Moses would do." And the I am God, the creator, the flaming bush, is standing right in front of them, and they denied Jesus. They're actually saying exactly that one must die, and it is Jesus who's going to die to take away all of our sins. So we didn't want anybody to stop that. Here we are. We agree to that as the best thing he could have done, but we're really agreeing to his death, that he had to die for us. An amazing thing that happened there. God gave his only, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is where that scripture fits in, doesn't it? That they use so much, but they seem to not really get that. They quote that a lot, but they don't seem to get what is before that with Nicodemus and so on. There's a lot of things hidden from their eyesight. So now this is 7 days prior, in 54 through 57. We're going to finish out chapter 11, and this is what is left remaining is half of the Bible that is only 7 days long, where half of John, it shows, half of John is these last 7 days before he dies on the cross. And then the little bit at the end is going to go to the 40, after he dies, he is with us for 43 days. Then he goes to be with the Father, and 1 week later, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, he says, I must go to the Father, and I will send the Holy Spirit unto you. But look at this, how compressed the time is until he dies on the cross, and that is, this seven-day period lasts from, a six-day period actually lasts from chapter 12, verse 1 to chapter 19, verse 30, when he gives up the Spirit. Okay. So have you read that last one? Did we read 54 through 57 yet?
Nope.
Okay. We're going to read 54 through 57.
Therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk openly among the Jews, but went away from there to the region near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim. And there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem from the region before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking Jesus, and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all? Now the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that they might seize him.
You know, I've never seen this scripture before, that he stayed in the country near the wilderness in a city called Ephraim and waited for this particular time that he's going to give himself up to be crucified. Okay? Anything else you guys wanted to bring up before we go into 6 days before the Passover and Jesus will die for us? Chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Oh, that's an interesting thing, his number.
Eight
verses.
Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. They made him, therefore, a supper there, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at meat with him. Mary therefore took a pound of ointment of pure nard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples that should deliver him up, saith, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 shillings and given to the poor? Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having a bag, was carrying its contents. Jesus therefore said, Suffer her to keep it against the day of my burying. For the poor you have always with yourselves, but me you have not always.
So now Judas Iscariot is exposed that he's not only going to betray Jesus, but he has been a thief. This whole time, he's been carrying the bag and taking money out of it.
Well, in the characteristics of the thief that we read earlier, they steal, kill, and destroy.
And come in another way.
Come in another way. Yeah.
Yet he's going to be instrumental in the death of Jesus, making this to happen. But it says, but woe to him, you know, through whom it comes. Woe to basically Judas Iscariot. And woe sounds like this in the Greek. You ready for this? This is what woe sounds. It doesn't sound like woe. It sounds like, oh. Did I do a good example of that?
I get it.
Oh. That's what it sounds like when you see something ghastly.
Right.
It's an exhaling of sound like that. This is interesting. Now, this really tells you this story about Lazarus. It really paints a picture why all this happened. And this is now 9 through 19, these verses. And we'll talk about a little bit more about Lazarus. 9 through 19.
Then the large crowd from the Jews learned that he was there. And they came, not because of Jesus only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus.
They'd never seen anything like this a corpse of a person that was rotting. It was decayed and rotting, 4 days old, and probably full of bugs and so on. I don't want to go too far in the imagination department, but it's impossible. This is in a doctor would not even think of trying to even, it would look ridiculous. It would fail. This is something only God could do. So they wanted to hide him away.
They wanted to kill him.
Yep.
They wanted to kill Lazarus.
Get rid of the evidence.
Yeah.
You're going to keep reading, right?
12 through 19?
Yep.
On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, O daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. So that crowd who was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness about him. For this reason also the crowd went and met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him."
The whole world is going after him. They are losing their church, is emptying fast. You know, it's an interesting thing. We just took a lunch break, and the sound person that we've been using to do these recordings for how many years now? 18 years? He was telling us he's done a lot of traveling all over the world, and he says you'd be shocked to see what they have in some of these really well-known religious places that people consider monuments to religion, like to the Catholic faith or whatever, maybe Greek Orthodox or whatever. But anyway, these big edifices of religion in the Mediterranean area. And he says oftentimes behind where the priests stand is a horrific scene of what hell looks like. Now, people in our culture, we're not used to that. They try to make something pleasant looking and so on. But even the cross is not a pleasant symbol if you really think about it. If Jesus died on a guillotine, would you have a picture of a guillotine behind the pulpit? Or where would you wear a guillotine hanging from your neck? It's a death instrument. And these pictures of hell, you know, do you really want to look at those? It says, look up, for your redemption draws near. And all of Matthew is telling us to look up, and we're going up. And yet, right behind the pulpit are these pictures of hell. And these were instructions that were given before any of these things were created. So why do we glorify the cross, which was the cruelest instrument of death there has ever been? It was actually used in a very cruel way to torture people and then to kill them. Would you put a shotgun behind? Well, maybe some of these redneck groups might be that way. But I don't know of any actually that do that. But it seems like the more religious groups to put it like a guillotine behind your pulpit or a cross. The cross is not really that shape. It's a bit different shaped. It's more like a tree. It's more like a single post that has a place where they could put their feet in a very uncomfortable position. And so it's really not a cross like we think. And what's another death instrument? A noose, hangman's noose. Would you put that behind the pulpit? Would you put a gas chamber picture behind the pulpit? And that's how crazy this whole thing has become. So have you read till 19? Blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, Jesus, having found a young donkey sat thereon, even as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, lo, thy king comes sitting on a donkey's colt." And these things his disciples did not understand this at first, but after Jesus was raised or glorified, then they remembered these things. And some of these things, we're going to read about them, and they don't gel right off the bat, but as you keep reading through the Bible and growing in the Lord, these things become more and more real. But the religious leaders were going bonkers because the world has gone after him, and their means of livelihood was ending. They're going to have to go out and shovel gravel or something, and they're not liking that one. Chapter 12, verses 20 through, where's that break? Is it a long one?
Yeah.
Through, is it 36B?
Looks like 33. It's like 36.
36.
It's talking about the sons of light is the last thing it talks about.
Now, certain Greeks were among those that went up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip comes and tells Andrew, and Andrew comes, and Philip, and they tell Jesus. And Jesus answers them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Amen, amen, I say unto you, except the grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit. Who loves his soul loses it, and he who hates his soul in this world shall guard it unto life eternal. If any serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any serve me, him will the Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." A voice therefore came out of heaven, "I both have glorified and will glorify it again." The crowd therefore that stood by and heard it said that it was thunder, and others, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is a judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast outside. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto myself." But this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. The crowd therefore answered him, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus therefore said to them, "Yet a little time is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness apprehend you not. And who walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe unto the light, that you may become sons of light."
This is an interesting conversation. Do you ever think of this? So there are certain Greeks went up among them, and they went up to worship at the feast. And Philip came and asked him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip comes and tells Andrew, and Andrew comes and Philip, and they tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come." His hour is coming. "Amen, amen, I say unto you." And then he talks to them, and Eve's even asking for the Father to save him from this hour. And then others said, at the end of it, "An angel has spoken to him," but Jesus answers again and says, "This voice has not come for my sake, but yours." So this voice came out of heaven before this, and it was like thunder. And then people said, "Well, an angel has spoken," but Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but yours." It's an interesting conversation that even a voice comes out of heaven, isn't it? There's a lot going. If you don't track this back and really listen to this, and then the crowd speaks. So Jesus answers and has said, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast outside." I tell you what, as soon as Jesus dies on the cross, Satan is in trouble. And he doesn't know this. He really doesn't know what he is doing when he orchestrates the death of Jesus. Satan doesn't know. But as soon as this would happen, it's going to start the prince of this world, who is Satan, being cast outside. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. You ever heard Ray talk about that, this older gentleman that got us started? You ever heard him talk about this verse? This is a key verse. Did you know that? That he used to talk about how important it is to lift up the name of Jesus. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. All we have to do is lift his name up and he'll draw men into the fellowship, into himself. And if this is the body, if this is the true body of Christ, but isn't this an important scripture? If you want your group to grow, your fellowship group that's in your house, by the way, it's not yours, it belongs to Jesus, but the one you participate in, his fellowship, if you lift up his name, if his name be lifted up, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto myself. I hope you look at this differently from now. And once you hear this podcast or once you hear this message, this was something that was very paramount that Ray talked about. Have we ever talked about that before? I know I have in different places, but...
Like in these recent recordings? I haven't heard that.
Have you ever heard that, though?
I have.
If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. It's huge.
Yeah.
That is really big. I'd like to pause just for a second. Just think about that. If I be lifted up from the earth, so many churches make Jesus a human. If he be lifted up from the earth and be treated as he is the I am, the Son of God. He is not of this earth, it says. Remember all those things he told about himself. You're of this earth. I'm not of this earth. And so if he's lifted up to his proper position as being God, the creator, where this whole thing started in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. All things were made through him. There was nothing that was Genesis that he didn't Genesis, that he didn't give birth to. And then this Logos became flesh and dwelt among us and took on the human form. But this whole book proves that Jesus is the Son of God. He's to be lifted up. And we are called, while you have light, believe unto the light that you may become sons of the light. Remember, he's going to be the light of the world as long as he's in the world. Then he's going to go home. And then we found back in Matthew, he says, you are the light.
I had my hand on what you're talking about right now. Back in John 9, actually, he said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then here he says, later on here in John, where was that?
While you have the light, believe unto the light that you may become the sons of light.
While, again, there's the while you have the light.
And we said that in John 2. So he makes that statement back in Matthew about,
you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand that it shines unto all those in the house. You are the light of the world, and that is Matthew 5:14.
And now he calls that light of the world sons of light.
Yeah.
Makes it specific.
Sons
individual.
Of God, sons of light. Better than LED, especially better than, way better than fluorescent, better than all of them.
Well, he gives you something to do there too, really. I mean, we read in 9, he just states, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he says here, while you have the light, which he's talking about himself, now he gives him something else to do. Believe in the light so that you can become sons of light, which connects to exactly back in John, where it's, I don't want to go into too much of that detail, but that's a connector from John 12 back to John 1. And it shows that how to become a son of light.
In him was light, and that light was the life of men. Yeah.
And foretelling that us being the light in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
So a brand new person gets heard, the first thing, you're the light of the world. He's telling you about it. And later on, he tells you that that means you're going to be a son of light. That's in the future, you know, in the next books, he starts telling you more and more about it.
John chapter 12, verses 36 through 43, these things spoke Jesus, and he departed and was hidden from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they didn't believe. That the word, the logos of Isaiah, he's telling this image of Christ, but it comes from Isaiah the prophet, be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with these ideo-spiritual eyes, with their eyes, be able to see God, the things of God. Not physical things, not things of the mind, but actually lest they see God with their eyes. I added the word God in there because it's ideo eyes. And understand at their heart, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah because he saw his glory and he spoke.
Words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forth. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. The words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried in a furnace of earth. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forth. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. Purified seven times, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.